Good evening, everybody. It's a great pleasure to be here and help to raise understanding in this whole area of digital ledger technology. Although I'm a chief scientific advisor in the UK government in trade in particular, I'd like to just mainly emphasize in my remarks some applications from my background in telecommunications, because it seemed quite logical, given the previous speakers, that if I covered another sector, it might add different insight. But just in terms of the international trade, why is it relevant to the country? I think it's relevant to the country because the UK is a leader in fintech, and I would include DLT as a key enabler for the future of fintech. Secondly, the UK is a strong leader in e-commerce, or spend per head. If we think about how we transact today in our daily lives, the UK is a leader in e-commerce. And that quickly brings into play areas where DLT and indeed blockchain could make a real difference, whether it's in identity management or provenance and in those sorts of areas. So it seems to me that as we have leading players in the UK, trade should be supporting their export, their collaboration, and in some cases the inward investment in that area. And that's what the Department of International Trade does. As a Chief Scientific Advisor, I'm part of the network or a distributed ledger of chief scientists, if that's the collective term. And within that activity, we have a coordinated function across different government departments where CSAs, including Anthony Finkelstein, who couldn't be here today, actually meet regularly and talk about some of the areas of science and engineering that are impactful to the role of government and how we work with citizens. And that's very useful. 2.5 years ago, or just over 2.5 years ago, a report was written by the GoScience central function talking about how DLT and indeed blockchain was developing. And that sort of initiated all sorts of activities within government in terms of how do you raise understanding in this area? How do you actually help things like identity management? How do you help things like provenance? But without going into detail on that, because I can't speak for the whole of government, I thought I'd touch more on the telecommunications aspects and how maybe the telecommunications industry might see distributed ledger technology and blockchain. So I used to be chairman of the Global GSM Association some 20 years ago and still look at a lot of the figures in their reports, and I only left O2 just before Christmas. So let me just give you a few numbers as to the size of the mobile industry and then how it might fit with DLT and blockchain. So 9 billion mobiles in use today, including objects that are connected regularly, not just people with their phones, but also meters that might be connected via mobile networks around the world. The GSM Association is very similar in many ways to, dare I say it, Lloyd's Register, global in nature, but representing 800 operators around the world, sharing lots of knowledge, but also sharing lots of transactions with each other. In addition to that, we would highlight that many customers don't have just one phone, some have more than one device, some have one for work, some for home reasons. So we'd typically say 5.22 billion unique mobile users today, which is still a huge number. It's the most widely adopted technology on the planet. And you might say that we've already got in the mobile industry lots of identity management that is more than sufficient. You know, the mobile phone number, perhaps even the identity of the mobile device itself. But that's not the way the mobile operators think about it. They're already doing some work on how do we make sure that when people access the internet through smartphones, that the identity management will be carried so that the person offering the service from the internet can be served. That could be a health record. That could be access to e-commerce in a secure way. Already lots of people are thinking about the cost reduction potential, as the previous speaker referred to. Can this start to help lower the costs of telecommunications and indeed help to improve competition and improve access? Thirdly, can some areas of customer services be helped with more automatic identification of individuals who are dialing up through customer care to the operator or their service provision channel, and so on. So just take an example. Mobile money, many of you may not use it in this country because it's mainly used over mobile with SMS in Africa. That rose December 2012 from 136 million users to 690 million users December to December over 5 years. What's stunning about that is that that's now processing more than $1 billion a day through text messages authenticated to confirm a money transfer, over $1 billion a day. It's likely to increase. The percentage of the 690 million in sub-Saharan Africa was 49%, Southern Asia 34%, but significant growth in Middle East and North Africa as well as in the Caribbean. Less so in Western Europe, but that mobile money example, because of its volume, is quite an important area to think about from a security point of view. So a lot of the operators who are running that system based on simple SMS or texting are starting to say, well, when should we introduce blockchain? When should we introduce solutions that might add in more security? Because it's no longer just transferring money, it's paying for large transactions. It's sending large remittances country to country. It's actually looking at some security that could be, I'm not saying hackable, but could be dangerous unless we think about innovation in that area. So a key area or key service that the mobile industry is looking at with blockchain is that whole area of money transfer, perhaps also credit checking. How do we make sure we have a common approach to credit checking? When somebody buys an expensive smartphone, is there a distributed ledger that helps to be shared across many retailers to make sure credit checking works well? Also areas to do with actual payment as well as just money transfer. How can payment be made more efficient? How can receipts be made more efficient? That quickly comes back to areas like provenance of payment and provenance of credit records. How do you get better access to those records for many users, many purposes? And e-commerce will depend very heavily on that going forward, so we need to work on that. The second key area, though, after payments and credit checking, I think is the whole area of record keeping, and that's been referred to by the previous speakers. Why is record keeping important? Well, you may have a record of your own education or of your own health. You might not want to share it too widely, but it might be very important for your future. It might be a future blockchain or distributed ledger type service. How can different clinicians maybe have access to your patient record? How can different career advisors appropriately have access to your educational record and your curriculum vitae? You might say early versions of that are on the internet today, but actually we can start to imagine how centralized blockchains might help to provide services in those areas. Smart contracts, certainly it's also important to think about the provenance of food, the provenance of various goods in value chains. How do we make sure that blockchain might help with the identity management in that area so that different people in the value chain can check the provenance and the date and the origination and the quality of various value chain, supply chain areas. It certainly applies to decentralized organizations. We can see a lot of activity where lots of players are looking at that, where organizations are decentralized and there's a need for centralized record keeping or verifiable record keeping that might help decentralized organizations. And lastly, one of the booms we're going to see in mobile is the Internet of Things, where more and more things are being connected, not just people. The numbers are expected to be around 7.5 billion at the end of 2017. If we take all types of connection technology, so wireless, Wi-Fi, fiber, around 7.5 billion things had a connected element to them. That's expected to grow to about 25.1 billion. If you said every smart meter in every home, if you said every car being connected, you start to imagine how you can get to 25 billion with the Internet of Things. And that's going to require different ways of decentralized databases to share verification information, perhaps reconciliation information, to make sure that the relevant bill goes to the right person, but also the right credit checking at scale really works. So what does this mean in practice? Well, I think it means that we have to think about all the S's. How does the scale impact really work? You know, if it doesn't work at scale, it's not going to take off. So good experimentation is a really important thing to think about before scaling up. I think, secondly, standards. Where are the standards in this area? And we've heard different interesting approaches from the different players by the previous speakers, but actually standardization is going to have to emerge, and we need to think more about that standards from a cost-effective point of view, with the emphasis on lower cost and effectiveness. And lastly, security, the three S's of scalability, standards, and security. So I think the world I'm in today is very much a mobile world where there's lots of experimentation, a need for more education and more experimentation, but a need for also more experience from an end-user point of view. And I think from a trade point of view, we need to also make sure that that's trusted internationally, not just in the UK. It's scalable internationally as well, and the confidence is critical in that area. I'd just like to finish with one example which I saw this week, which to me was quite remarkable, because blockchain is a key enabler as part of a solution. I saw a company called IrisGuard, a British company about 15 years old, yesterday, and they specialize in eye recognition. But they apply the eye recognition with different camera devices to your iris to help authenticate you as a person. They have blockchain behind that, they have cloud computing behind that, and they actually help you to be identified if your eye is looking at that particular eye recognition camera. They're using that for Syrian refugees in Jordan today who can't be identified because they've lost their papers. It helps those Syrian refugees get money out of an ATM machine today with the eye recognition and the blockchain and the cloud computing. It's run also with the World Food Programme to give them access to food. That's a real live example today that's been around for about 12 months, Syrian refugees in Jordan using blockchain today. There's a lot more to be done. It's not just the small-scale examples, it's the large-scale examples. Let's work together on this. Thank you very much.